Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to Red Sky Radio and the Red Sky Radio Ranch, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Couple of quick announcements. If you want to reach me, you may contact me, info at redskyradio.net, info at redskyradio.net. You know, in listening to the opening here, I had thought about making a couple of small changes. Two things have stopped me. Number one, the man who did the voiceover is no longer with us. He's in heaven, so I can't use his voice anymore. But then beyond that, I really listened intently today to my own opening. And I thought, wait a second, what would I change? I've had this opening for 16 years, and it's still timely. It's still not outdated. Everything that applied then applies now, even more. Having done all to stand. Why do we do this? It's for the freedom. It starts with freedom in Jesus Christ. But when you have freedom in Christ, that's why this country had so much freedom, is because it had such a strong Christian root to it that lends itself to religious freedom, political freedom, economic freedom. Well, we got so much to cover today. I got to get rolling. This is going to be the almost all COVID program part two. Almost all, because I got some other things I want to cover. I promised you some good news coming out of the state of Texas. A federal judge has blocked the Biden administration rule from forcing doctors to perform sex change surgeries. Barack Hussein Obama implemented this policy. Trump nixed it in a heartbeat. And now Biden has brought it back, and a federal judge says, No can do. Judge Reed O'Connor, Northern District of Texas, granted a permanent injunction this past Monday against this. So it's, you know, can they do it? Can they do the sex change operations? Yes. Can they force doctors to do them? No. It's like forcing doctors to perform abortions at practice hospitals and things of that sort. So let me see. We're going to force you to kill children as part of your medical training. We're going to have you execute children to fulfill your Hippocratic oath. Jeez. Well, you can see where this program is going, right? Okay, I've got so much to get in. Let's move along here. This is a second court victory. I'm a lawyer. I understand people's dislike of lawyers, but there's times when you need them. And we're needing them right now, and we've got some good attorneys fighting some great cases. The federal court has ruled that a Catholic high school can, in fact, fire a lesbo counselor who's in a same-sex, why do I call it same-sex marriage? In a sodomistic marriage. They have the freedom to fire. They can fire her because it doesn't line up with the religious principles. This is a judge who understands that the religious freedom ingrained in the free exercise and establishment clause of the First Amendment trumps any made-up queer rights that exist through some other, who knows what means by left-wing judges. They don't need the Constitution to do what they're going to do. They're going to make it up anyway. But that's the second piece of good news. Now, I found this article really interesting, that Mexico is now coming out and suing gun manufacturers because of all the guns that are in the hands of the cartels. Cartels, plural. You know, I'm surprised nobody's covered this, because if we could go back a few years to Barack Hussein Obama, do you remember Fast and Furious? Do you remember Eric Holder? Do you remember Obama claiming and taking executive privilege to not release any of the documents pertaining to Fast and Furious, and then ultimately claiming for political purposes, expedience, that the reason that Obama was running guns to the Mexican cartel was to be able to trace them and find out how they were getting back into the U.S.? What a bunch of crapola, Obama. He was good at that, though, leaving a pile no matter where he went. We know that with the death of Brian Terry from a gun supplied by Obama's Fast and Furious program, that Border Patrol who died, Obama should be tried for murder. We know that that was a bunch of crap, because behind the scenes, it leaked out. That's all it could do is leak, because the mainstream media wouldn't cover it, that Obama wasn't trying to give guns to the cartel to trace him. He's giving guns to the cartel to increase the amount of violence to build the case against assault weapons in the United States using Mexican drug thugs as proxies. That's all it was. But even his supposed reason made no sense. Nobody was buying that crap, all except that nobody reported on it. And now, so Obama launches the program, feeds the guns to the cartels, and now Mexico is suing the gun. Hey, you know what? I just thought of this. Maybe this was Obama's plan, to ultimately get Mexico to sue gun manufacturers. It's why reason number 109, everybody keeps asking, what are we going to do about this? I got the same old answer. Until a state secedes from the Union, we're screwed. That's right. There is no escape without secession. And I'm going to have to revisit how that plays out, how it will work, why it will be a huge success, because the red states that leave are the ones that are paying all the money to the federal government they're using to send out to other states that are sucking it up. If they leave, they've lost the net tax-paying states. You can't teach Democrats anything other than administer a strong financial spanking. That's right. All they understand is being whacked in the tush by dollars. And even that doesn't work, because they're usually playing with other people's money. They don't play with their own. They play with the taxpayers' money. Okay. I'm all over the map here, but that's by design. I'm going to get to California in a few minutes. Some things. We got a lot of California listeners, so I got to cover something there in a minute. Another proof of a stolen election. Okay, Biden's approval rating is in the absolute toilet. It's plummeted. It's lower than Trump's approval rating at any time in his 4 years. So I want you to just think about this. We're going to actually apply some logic today. I guess that makes it sound like I normally don't apply logic, doesn't it? Didn't mean that at all. But we're going to go into this, not from a biblical perspective, not from a historical perspective, but from a rare commodity today, common sense. So how can we prove that the election was stolen? Just this is another little tidbit here. Biden is actually doing what he said he would do. Okay? Now, unless Democrats are so ridiculously stupid and apathetic that they never listen to what he was talking about doing, let's for a moment give them maybe an unfair accommodation to suggest that they actually have enough intelligence to hear and understand what their precious and beloved candidate was saying. He's only doing what he said he would do. So if he really did win the election, and that meaning that there was a majority that actually voted for him, and he's actually doing what he said he would do, then why would his numbers be down? Why would his numbers be in the toilet? If he's only doing what he said he would do, and he really was elected by the majority, and the majority listened to him and liked what he said, then why do they now not like what he's doing, even though he's only doing what he said he would do, which they said they liked? Are Democrats even more stupid than I thought? The answer is, they never were the majority. They never did win this election. That's the only rationale how Joe Biden can do the things he said he was going to do and have his numbers tank at a point where we can actually start rating his approval, doing an approval rating. You got to have a few months in office. They haven't really tanked as much as they never got out of the toilet. Honestly, they really haven't, because he didn't actually win. Okay, California, stuck on stupid. They are, the state. This is interesting because they now have a bill that is going to pass, Senate Bill S-42, which is going to make it a crime. Listen, Californians, it's going to make it a crime to approach within 30 feet of any person while that person is within 100 feet of a vaccination site. So if a person is within 100 feet of a vaccination site, at that point, you won't be able to come within 30 feet of that person to what? Give them literature? Give them a leaflet? Counsel them why they shouldn't be getting the... No, absolutely. Do you see how the left cannot get its message across without intimidation, force, and Nazi-style Gestapo jackboot tactics? I mean, goodness sakes. Larry Elder, I think, is going to win this election and the recall election. But I want to tell you, the state is so bad and it's so overrun with Democrats at every level. Larry Elder, after the recall, which I think will be successful, we'll go into that in a minute, exactly how that's going to work, so you know, is a great guy. A really articulate, conservative Christian black man who is a program called the Sage of South Central. I've listened to him for years. He's fabulous. He's everything that the left hates and fears, like they feared Clarence Thomas. Articulate, popular, likable, conservative black man. And why? Because they're afraid he's going to take a whole bunch of blacks off the plantation. Simple. But how much can he do if, in fact, he wins? And I think he will. With an overwhelming Democrat majority in the state assembly and the state senate, he's not going to be able to do good, per se. All he's going to be able to do is slow down the spread of evil by vetoing bill. It'll be veto, veto, veto. In fact, he's going to veto so much people think he's Italian. Duh, this is a veto elder. I mean, it's from, what a lousy Italian. I tried to pull something out of The Godfather. It just didn't work. But anyway, that's the best he can do, is the restraint on the evil. So now quickly, Californians, this is how your recall is going to work. It's coming up. They're already mailing out the ballots. You got two votes. Number one, do you recall Gavin Newsom or not? Yes or no? If the majority votes no, and he is backed by all of the media, all of entertainment, all of Hollywood, all of the academia, all of the government employees, he'll end up with over 50 million. Larry Elder will be lucky if he has 5. But you know what? This is a beauty. God never works with the majority. And so, that being the case, because he's not going to share his glory with any man, if he's not going to work with a majority of people, he may not work with a majority of the money. So, let's suppose there's a recall. Vote is yes. Then you go to vote number two. Who would you pick? I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are 49 people running to replace Newsom on the ballot. I mean, in theory, this is amazing, and it's not a plurality. I'm sorry, it's not a majority vote that's required. It's just a plurality, meaning it's the person with the most votes, even if it's not a majority. So if you take 49 and divide it into 100, you're just over 2% per person if it came out evenly. That means technically somebody with 3% of the vote, if everybody else got 2, could win this election. Now, it's going to be more than that, but it could win with as little as 10 or 12%. So, how do we know that Gavin Newsom is scared, running scared? The press conference the other day, he was on a rant. He was on a rage. The only word he could say, and he kept saying it over, was damn, damn this and damn that. He was just swearing like a sailor, frustrated. He admitted he was frustrated. And you know why he's frustrated? Because for the first time in Gavin Newsom's life, he's actually facing what you and I, conservatives, face all the time, every day, and he can't handle it. That's because pretty boy Floyd here, of the left, he's had the backing of academia, he's had the backing of media, he's had the backing of the government, government employees, Hollywood, most of corporate California. All he's ever known is going down a stream in an inner tube. He's never had to swim upstream. He's always had a tailwind, never a headwind. Finally, he hits a headwind for the first time in his life, and he thinks he's getting screwed and ripped off because not everybody in California is wild about him anymore. Most Hispanics don't like him. Most blacks don't like him. Most whites don't like him. The press question, no, I take that back. I don't know about the whites. White people are the most unreliable in California of all as far as voting in a righteous manner. We, you know, Proposition 8 to outlaw homosexual marriage would never have passed without the Hispanic and the black vote. The whites were lost on that issue. So, welcome Gavin Newsom to the world that conservatives face every single day. And you can't handle it, man. You're a rookie. An absolute rookie deserves to lose big time. But why will the Dems still vote for him, even the ones that hate him? Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a narcissistic, hypocritical jerk, as far as I'm concerned. He was the one that just decided that he unilaterally was going to start marrying queers. But the fact is, the Democrats are going, a lot of, they're going to vote for him because what's the alternative? Because Democrats don't want a decent, nice, thoughtful, law-abiding, intelligent, conservative black man like Larry Elder. Because he is going to lead a whole bunch of blacks off the white left-wing elitist plantation. So they're going to vote for him because they really like him? No, he probably makes them throw up just as much as me. But they don't like what's sitting on the other side. And that's why he's still going to get a lot of votes. Antifa the other day, this is so ridiculous. Now we're getting over closer to the subject of this program, being the almost all COVID program. But this is Antifa throwing flash bombs at children, injuring a pastor at a Christian prayer event in Portland. Now, I got to say something. You know, all the hype about prosecuting the people that January 6th invaded the Capitol. The more I hear about that, the more I kind of wish I was there. I mean, I wouldn't have had to participate in every aspect of what they did. But I think it's good for the people in power to realize that they aren't as elite, they aren't as cool, they aren't as great, and they aren't as insulated as they think. It's a good thing for them to be scared. So they make sure they're going to prosecute those people to the nth degree. But nobody gets prosecuted in Portland. Nobody gets prosecuted for burning the businesses in Seattle, in Chicago, in Philadelphia, in St. Louis. Those prosecutors let all those thugs and mugs go. Antifa, BLM, it doesn't really matter. Who really got prosecuted out of that? So Antifa here, which is really primarily just a pack of weenie white thumb suckers out there in their black garb and shields and batons, and goodness sakes, how embarrassing. But they're out there and they're throwing flash. There's a prayer group in a park. They're throwing flash bombs at the children. They injure the pastor. They're yelling, "Where is your God now?" You don't want to see the video. Well, here is my point. What? The police were present. The police are visible in the video. They don't do one stinking thing. They sit there and let Antifa harass, intimidate, and injure children and an adult. Do they arrest them? No. Do they break them up? No. Portland, you suck. And if that's the best you can do for policemen, then defund them because they're worthless anyway. I can't believe that. I'll tell you, when you start touching children, you've raised the hair on the back of my neck to 1 inch longer than it really is. Go figure out how that can happen. I don't really know. Now, on to the topic of the day. I'm going to fit in as much of this as I can. Whatever I can't fit in is coming next week because it's not going away. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, but don't turn me off. Don't go get a cheeseburger or something. Well, I mean, if you do get a cheeseburger, get one for me, okay? Well, anyway, this is why the mask and vaccination, loosely so-called mandate, in the school system, I actually applaud and I think is a good thing. I know what you're thinking. Rob, what the hey? What on earth are you talking about? Let me back up a minute to what I have said numerous times some time back. Our problem in this country is the removal of God from the school system. We are reaping what we've sown. We sow anti-God, bibliophobic, Christophobic teachings, multiculturalism, and now it just gets worse to critical race theory and all that garbage, teaching whites that they need to be inferior and take inferior positions because they are inferior. We know, I got to throw this in. Would not Martin Luther King Jr., if he could rise up from the grave, would he not just barf on the people who are pushing the critical race theory? I mean, I thought we're not supposed to judge people by the color of their skin, but what? The content of their character, right? A fabulous statement that's lived on for decades. And now the left couldn't give a rat's rear end about the wisdom of Martin Luther King Jr. So, backing up some months, I said what I said about COVID, and I did a program on why I believe COVID was of God. And I covered it from a biblical perspective. You say, how could that possibly be? Well, if you think it's a plague, if you don't, then we don't need the pandemic heroics, right? Maybe it isn't a plague. If it isn't a plague, forget what I'm talking about. But if it really is a plague, if it really is a pandemic, find one place in the Bible where Satan never brought the plague. A plague was invariably brought by God to visit a punishment against those who have routinely, repetitively, more aggressively denied, confronted, and frankly, ultimately, rejected God with an act of supreme retaliation and enjoying their own disobedience. Pretty much sound like where we are, right? Yeah, it does. That's when God visited plagues. Now, an interesting thing about plagues, I wish I could relate to that particular program so you could hear it in its entirety. But with the punishment of the plague, God also brought a way of restoration. Now, the plague just had them wallowing in misery, and they'd cry out to God. And guess what? He would hear them and forgive them and restore them. Look on this pole that has a serpent on it, and you'll be healed from the plague. That's throughout all of Scripture. So if you don't think we have a plague and this pandemic isn't real at all, and I've never said it is nothing, it's not real, I've just said the way we respond to it is grossly incorrect. If it is of God, which if it's a plague, it's from God. There's no place in Scripture. I defy any pastor out there to prove to me that this plague is from the enemy. They'll say, well, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, do I need to point out the 8 million times God has killed people in Scripture? From beginning to end, Jesus returns, slays a whole bunch of people, so many millions that the blood is up to the bridle of the horses. God is a just God, and that sometimes involves executions. That's just the way it is. He's boss. So if you are going to judge a country, and you're going to judge largely those who have been responsible for the downfall, and there is a place in Ezekiel that says that there are judgments and from God that even impact the righteous. I think it's Ezekiel 31. I wish I had it. It just popped into my head. There's a place where the righteous suffer under God's judgment as well. Maybe not in the totality or the completeness of what God has visited on others. I don't know. But understand that God visits a plague upon the disobedient people. And so those who have been ravaged because this country has turned the school system over to the devil because parents haven't given a rip really about what their kids are learning because their parents put their job and SUVs and vacations ahead of a decent Christian education, you reap what you sow. So let me say now, how would you, this is what I said before, multiple times, I could not dream of a way by which you would crush a satanically driven, demon-possessed government education system better than to crush the school itself, which is what COVID did. Now, interesting point here, number two, if I said that, you know, or that, is that dealing fairly with this, the victims have been the children of this ungodly teaching, which parents, ungodly parents, and non-caring Christian parents have subjected their kids to, and they wonder why at 18, 19 years old, they're so ridiculously screwed up. This is the amazing thing to me. God visited the judgment of COVID upon this country, maybe the world. Who is it that is particularly not affected? Children. This mass crapola is just that. The number of children that have died only from COVID that have gotten COVID, way, way, way less than 1%. First of all, only 6% of the population that is alleged to have died from COVID actually died from COVID alone. 94% have comorbidity. You get down to children 0 to 19 years old. Nobody is dying virtually unless they have problems, serious health problems, for which kids died from the flu. Or they're taking vaccinations as 13-year-old kids that get an inflamed heart that kills them, and then the CDC says, well, it wasn't the COVID, it was the inflamed heart. Well, it was a shot that inflamed the heart that killed the kid. So understand that COVID was a judgment, but the innocent ones, the victims, are not actually touched by God's judgment. And then, after all this, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I got to finish this after the break. I don't want to cut it short. It's just way too important. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Take this job and shove it. ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it.
Okay, Rob Walter, we are back here now. I was discussing why the mask and vaccine mandate through the school system, I actually am supporting it, and I'm getting up to my killer point here. So we started with the fact that what I said about COVID was a plague from God for punishment for disobedience by the adult population. Number two, interestingly, kids are really not affected by COVID. You don't have to believe the garbage that you're hearing. Kids are not affected by COVID except in the rarest of cases, which does not exceed the death rate from the flu and invariably involves a comorbidity. And so then what's left? So the schools, California, this goes at mask mandates, let's lock them down with masks, lockdowns, mask mandates, force vaccines. This is why I support it. 1.4 million children left government schools because of the COVID overreaction by the left-wing mania that was going on last year. The fact that they have ramped it up now, Fauci and the Faucinistas are all over the map on what they recommend. And the fact is that they're doubling down and tripling down because they can't stand to lose control. I read the other day, there are Christian schools in this country that are witnessing a 30 and 40% increase in enrollment in 1 year. And that's where there are Christian schools. Well, if you get out in the country, the significant decline where it's occurring is occurring because people have decided to homeschool. They've just sort of said, screw it to the left-wing government mob called teachers unions that run the government schools. So if the mask and vaccine mandate in all of these schools drives millions more children out of the government school, you see why I support it. You see, the devil always overplays his hand. And this is how God will use the punishment and the plague of COVID while protecting the children who are uniquely just really not involved in it, and then end up setting millions of them free, liberated from a left-wing government education system so that they could get some real education, not be swallowed up by LGBT, QRSD, UVW, XYZ, CRT, and BLM. That's all they got are letters and initials, right? And Antifa. No, these parents are tired of the queer, Christ-hating CRT cesspool, but that's what they would be getting. And not enough of them are upset with that. Some are, and they're leaving. But the fact of the matter is there is a whole bunch of parents that if school returned to so-called normal, no masks, no lockdowns, no vaccinations, there's a whole bunch of parents who just say, whew, we're back to normal. Send their kids back to a government cesspool involved in queer critical race theory, all the garbage that's supposedly a substitute for education, because that's what the plan of the left was, to steal and educationally rape and molest your children. From the very beginning, go back and read the Communist Manifesto or the Naked Communist. Very clear. This is upsetting. You see, God has a way through this. Like he did in Scripture through the punishment of the plague, he actually brought the people to the point of their cure. In the punishment was the cure. In the disease was a way out. It was punishment, but he's a loving God. He'd provide restoration. This way, he's just doing it in a way I could not have guessed in 8 gazillion years. That the way you free the children is to crush and destroy a government education system. So have at it, you Nimrods in California and New York and Oregon and all those places. Mask them up, mandate them, just drive drive like a herd those students right out of your arms, right out of your classrooms, into the waiting arms of welcoming Christian school teachers. Oh, you got to love it. Well, Moderna's come out. They finally admitted it. Fauci's jumping all around on this deal. The booster shot, which we've been saying for some time, will likely be necessary prior to the winter season. Why the winter season? Well, the winter season, this is just a virus. It's a virus. Viruses like the flu hang around through nice weather. You got a lot of vitamin D from the sun, other things that help kind of inoculate you from those things. You don't, people don't really get the flu much in the summer. The winter, not much vitamin D, not much sunshine. Those things, and then it breaks out. Closed quarters. But it's a booster shot. And now they admit that there's a good possibility you're going to need it every single year. So while you're in there getting your flu shot, just get your annual booster. And hopefully you live through that one. Maybe not the next year when you get the next one. You know, I've already covered this. I don't want to cover it again. The professor suggested it to be a federal hate crime to criticize Fauci. Let's move past that. I don't want to waste too much time here on Barack Hussein Obama, whose birthday party is a massive bash on Martha's Vineyard. Is anybody wearing masks? No, of course not, because we knew the Democrats were hypocrites. Oh, we covered this last week, too, so I don't want to spend any time here about making sure that there are businesses that will start to not allow vaccinated people to come into their premises because they have become the new super spreaders. This from Ian Watson, actually provided to me by one of our many listeners in Central California, I think in the, I don't know where it is, Modesto area, I think. Ian Watson said, if you have to be persuaded, reminded, pressured, lied to, incentivized, coerced, bullied, socially shamed, guilt-tripped, threatened, punished, and criminalized, if all this is considered necessary to gain your compliance, you can be absolutely certain that what is being promoted is not in your best interest. Okay, so we're heading into the depth of the COVID portion of this program. I hope I can get through it. I'll finish it next week. You do not want to miss this. So, COVID in Israel. New cases are topping 2,000 a day for the third day in a row. They've got the green pass, which is required in gatherings of over 100 people, as the Delta variant spreads steadily. And they're now urging the third shot for the elderly, which will turn into the fourth shot, the third shot for those that are not elderly, and ultimately the third shot, the shot that may kill them, because, you know, hey, you get shot, some people die from getting shot. It might be the kids. Anyway, what we have is a runaway of breakthrough cases. Amazing, isn't it? Gibraltar, Iceland, they see a COVID spike of huge proportions, despite the fact that 90% of the population has been vaccinated. So we talked about common sense, didn't we, at the beginning of the program? Let's just try this one. If over 90% of the population is vaccinated, over 90%, and there is a massive COVID spike, you can't have a massive COVID spike with less than 10% of the population, because you don't have a massive population to have a massive spike. It means a massive spike is obviously among the vaccinated. And there are statistics coming out of several countries now that show that vaccinated people are the real spreaders of COVID-19. The evidence is clearly mounting that the vaccine is actually causing the viral variants and the infections, as experts predicted. So if you think that the last story was not compelling, that 90% and more are vaccinated and there's a massive spike, I know what you're thinking. But it was a setup. Let's go to Gibraltar. Where is that? The Rock of Gibraltar from the Prudential ads of this peninsula in Spain? 99% of the population is fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated in 99% of the population. And that was established by June 1, 2 months ago. Since that time, COVID cases per day have increased by over 2,500%. So we're going to try a little more math. We're going to cover it as common sense. You cannot get a 2,500% increase in COVID cases out of 1% of the population. The vaccinated are the spreaders. I mean, whether it's we have the information that those infected with COVID are actually seven times who have been infected. But they didn't get the shot. They've just been infected. Are seven times less likely to be reinfected than those who are vaccinated. All of which speaks to the power of natural immunity. Seven times less likely to be reinfected if you had it once without the vaccine than if you had the vaccine. Gosh, this is just... You know what? I think I'm done with the statistics. I could bore you to tears. But I want to direct you to a couple of videos you have to look up. Take down these two names. Dr. Ryan Cole. He is an incredible doctor. And one you probably saw, Dr. Dan Stock. He was on Tucker Carlson the other night when he spoke, I think it was August 4th, if I'm not mistaken, at a school board meeting in Mount Vernon, Illinois. You want to hear that guy. Get it. Search for it. And I want to tell you something. I will just tell you, I look for things on DuckDuckGo. I could not find Dr. Stock's presentation to the Mount Vernon School Board anywhere on Google. But you know what I found? Article after article and hit piece after hit piece bashing him. Misinformation from beginning to end, A to Z, and all of this garbage. They don't dare. You got to go to DuckDuckGo to find and look around and find the video. And the same thing is happening with Dr. Ryan Cole's piece. And how do you look for it? You know what? That might be August 4th too. It's on Rumble. If you heard Tucker Carlson Thursday night, he's pushing Rumble. He says, you know, I never advertise, but this is too important. Go to rumble.com, look it up, and you're going to see things from the left, you're going to see things from the right, in the middle. It's just an open forum. Finally, the way news is supposed to be. But look up August 4, 21, Dr. Ryan Cole explains the jab in great detail. Dr. Ryan Cole explains the jab in great detail, and I'm going to summarize what he says because it's very, very important. And I don't think I'm going to get to some recent admissions by the CDC, which will shock you. But he said, and I'm going to sum it up, he had eight basic points. Masks are worthless, utterly worthless. You have to listen to find out why. Number two, he cites many deaths of children within a couple of days of getting the shot that are not being reported by the CDC. And the reason the CDC doesn't report it is they claim that it wasn't from the shot. Kid gets a shot. 2 days later, he's dead. The CDC says it wasn't from the shot. We don't have to report it. They just unilaterally declare that when in reality, it's just simply a lie. Number three, 11,000 deaths so far, according to Dr. Cole, of people who have gotten the shot and then died. German research has confirmed that as many, and this didn't come from Dr. Cole, that at least 40% of the people that are dying from the shot or dying right after they've had the shot are dying from the shot. So you take 11,000 means at least, you know, basically 5,000 people anyway, but probably more. The CDC doesn't release its data anymore because the data will indict them. But listen to this. Dr. Cole makes this statement. I mean, I don't know how he backs it up, but it's worth listening to. That out of the 11,000 deaths, we only recently got to the first autopsy. The first autopsy to look to actually determine. This is in the United States, not Germany. Germany's done the autopsies. That's how they came up with that number. But in the U.S., they're not doing the autopsies because they're afraid of what they'll find. They're just not doing them. They just say, well, it's not from COVID. There's not a reason to do an autopsy. No compelling reason to do an autopsy here. And besides, we don't have the money. And Dr. Cole makes a good point. He said, you can't find what you're not looking for. You can't find what you're not looking for. They don't want to find that a person died from the shot. And all the people are dying from the shot needs to be added to it. Of course, the people who are dying from COVID that they got after the shot. There's actually two sets of numbers. And we don't even have those conjoined, if you will. I mean, after all, every single lab test for the vaccines is a failure. Folks, all the rats died or had birth defects. Dr. Cole said that there has been a 20,000% increase in heart inflammation in children who have gotten the shot, which would be basically age 13 to 19. 20,000% increase in heart inflammation, which in some cases leads to death, which then the CDC says, no, it wasn't from the shot, it was from the heart inflammation. It's a center for deception and confusion. That's what CDC stands for. Now, I've got to just go on. You know what? I got to collect my thoughts here because I want to say this right. Cole goes on to say that they are pushing that there is nothing wrong with getting the vaccination after you have recovered from COVID. He said that is a disaster. The heightened probability of death or serious hospitalization is enormous from people who get COVID, then get the vaccination, and then have either a reaction from the vaccination or get a second round of COVID. Well, it gets worse. He stated that there is now, well, I mean, in addition to the one autopsy out of 11,000 that you can't find what you don't fund, you can't find that which you don't fund. That's true. You don't can't find what you don't look for. I mean, use global warming as an example. If you fund things to say, see if there's global warming, of course they're going to find it because you funded it. But say, see if you can find that there's no proof for global warming. Guess what? If you fund that, you will come up with there's no global warming. Works the same way with this whole COVID thing. And people say, I'm bothered by this. I'm bothered by people say that this is conspiratorial talk. Well, you know what? People use that to dismiss every possible conspiracy. You see, if there was no such thing as conspiracy, we wouldn't have the word conspiracy in our dictionary. It wouldn't be in our lexicon. But we have it because there really are conspiracies. So just because somebody, well, that's conspiratorial, doesn't mean that there isn't a conspiracy. Like I said, that is intended to eliminate absolutely everything that somebody who doesn't like the conclusion can simply describe as a conspiracy. Conspiracy, the word, has become the equivalent of untrue. Which, if it were untrue, then it was always untrue, we would never have had the need for the word to begin with. But there absolutely are conspiracies. Well, look up these videos. Look them up. And, you know, I've got a question I would love to ask a few people. Mr. Gates, Mr. Bill Gates, did you get the vaccine? Would you show us your record that you actually took the jab? Donnie Lemon, Andy Cooper, why don't you show your vaccination cards? I want to see if you guys really took it. Actually, the most indicting thing I have heard, and I just read this morning, by a former executive with Pfizer, very high level executive with Pfizer, acknowledged, and it's coming out from internally with Pfizer. Pfizer, while supporting companies mandating the vaccine, will not mandate it for its own employees. They won't. What do they know? They invented it. If it was safe, why wouldn't they mandate it? Why, if you passed a bill, like I said last week, that said that if you're going to make an employee get vaccinated to save his job, and you kill him, you owe the family at least $10 million, or if they live but they have medical expenses, 100 times the medical expenses. How many employers would start not enforcing that because they're afraid of getting sued? Well, I'll tell you, if it's safe and it's not a realistic possibility, then they wouldn't get sued. But they wouldn't do it because it is a realistic possibility that they get sued, because it is a realistic possibility that they will have killed or permanently injured an employee. No question about it. What it comes down to, the summary of these two scientists, is that this alleged vaccine is actually the ultimate anti-science. Nothing supports it. Cole goes on to state that there has been, since the vaccine has come out, a huge uptick in herpes. I don't know why it would relate to maybe sexually transmitted diseases, but maybe the body's somewhat natural immunity to those diseases are compromised by the fake vaccine. There's a huge uptick in HPV. What's that? The human papilloma. I don't know what it is. Let's call it the human pizza virus. I can't think of what the word is. Huge uptick. A huge uptick in mono. Not a huge uptick in stereo. Just a huge uptick in mono. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. It's not a joking matter. I apologize. This one blew me away, though. He states that there is a 10,000 to 20,000% increase that he has seen in his patients in uterine cancer just since January 1 of people who've taken the shot. A uterine cancer. Here's the point. We don't know. We don't. This is why it's anti-science. We don't know. I mean, the whole idea of getting an FDA approval, you know what the left says? The left says that there is no proof that the vaccination is hurting anyone. Well, of course, that's a lie, because that's why Pfizer is not making its employees mandating that they get the vaccine that they made. But they say there's no proof that it causes harm. The standard for FDA approval is not to show that it is. You have to prove that it doesn't cause harm. That's the standard for safety. Prove that it doesn't cause harm. You have not had enough time to test this thing. You're using the human population as the lab rats. You're immune from liability. Nobody can sue Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson. They're immune from liability. They get to use you as the lab rat. And you can't sue them. But we haven't had enough time. That's why the FDA hasn't given approval. And if it gives approval, it's only because you've got some left-wing COVID Gestapo in the Biden administration that puts so much heat on them that they force an approval. It will not be an approval that's based on testing, because they've been testing it for 20 years and they have never, ever perfected a COVID vaccine. Never. The kangaroos have birth defects. The lab rats are dying. They cannot get there. And we have had too short of a time period to test this. And we already see how many ways they're wrong. Said, well, you can't, you're not going to get the virus. You can get it. You can't transmit it. Well, you can transmit it. You can't get sick. Well, yes, you can get sick. You're not get hospitalized or dead. Well, yes, you can be hospitalized and die. Nothing they've said is right. Nothing they have said is aligned with their science, because they have no science for what they're saying to align with. And they say the manufactured crisis in Florida and Texas among children, what do they not tell you? That over 30% of these kids are in the hospital with RSV. And it's another virus. Has nothing to do with COVID. But they let you believe that it is with COVID. And most of these kids are coming in for a broken arm. They get a COVID shot, find out that they got COVID, but they never have any stinking doggone symptoms. The left, a pack of liars. For you, your charge is clear. You got to sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.